Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Tuesday, January 23rd, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page XXX, the doctor's opinion. The second paragraph down begins with the classification of alcoholics seems most difficult, through one paragraph ending with makes many resolutions but never a decision. And the comments will be on that one paragraph only. And today's readers are Tanya P. for the 12 steps, Mary P. for the 12 traditions, and the readers of the text are Janice P.M. and Shelley E. The share ID for Monday, yesterday, January 21st, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 21,059. That's 21059. And for Tuesday, January 22nd, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time, that's this morning's meeting. Today's the 23rd. Share ID for Monday, the 22nd. I had that wrong. I'm sorry. Monday the 22nd, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,059. And for this morning's meeting, January 23rd, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,061. That's 21061. Newcomer greeter is Carla C. And announcements is Robin B. So stay on there till the end. Our OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary
We can't hear you, Mo. You got muted.
Mo H, press star one, please.
All right, can you hear me now?
Yes. You're loud and clear.
Hello?
Yes, you're loud.
All right. Okay. Where did I cut off? OA's fifth tradition?
Just start there.
That each group has... All right, I'll start there. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Tanya P. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Tanya.
Good morning, Mo. I was doodling and completely forgot I had a job. I am very sorry. Here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service. This is Tanya P., recovered in Michigan. I pass.
Thank you very much, Tanya P., for doing the steps. And now I will ask Mary P. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you. This is Mary P. in Austin, Texas, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinions on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thanks for letting me be of service, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Mary P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on the topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone. And once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to remute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page XXX in the doctor's opinion. We're on the second paragraph down. It begins with the classification of alcoholics, and it ends with make many resolutions, but never a decision. And I will now ask Janice P.M. to get us started. Good morning, Janice.
And good morning to you, O.H. My name is Janice P.M., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater living in Massachusetts. And just like this paragraph, identification, I express my sincere sympathy to you because I identify with you with the loss of an animal. And also,
Janice,
in this
I need you to read the paragraph first. Did I lose you? Oh, dear. Janice, press star one to
I'm so sorry.
Please read.
Boy.
That's okay.
Of course.
You were excited.
Of course.
Go ahead.
I'm so excited. I don't know what to say first. The classification of alcoholics seems most difficult and in much detail is really outside the scope of this book. There are, of course, the psychopaths who are emotionally unstable. We are all familiar with this type. They are always going on the wagon for keeps. They are over remorseful and make many resolutions, but never a decision. Well, my name is Janice PM, recovered, not cured in many ways, in my mind and everything. And I live in Massachusetts. Now, this is a classification of alcoholics, but you know, I identify with the classification is me for a compulsive overeater. When I saw this word psychopath, I said, oh my, that's not me. I can't identify with that word. That seems like a criminal. You know, the personality is characterized by somebody that's done crime. Well, let me tell you, I've done crime to my body and my life and my family. Psychopaths, but I do identify with being emotionally unstable. Well, it says, we are all familiar with this type. And if I remember when we first read Doctor's Opinion, he mentioned that word type. So we can diagnose ourselves as being a psychopath, which of course for me, it talks about the mind, psycho. Psychic is mind. My mind always lied to me. I don't know about you. It always told me it's okay to eat now because you've been, you know, you've been abstinent for 18 years or whatever it is. And however, that's a lie, isn't it? That's my mind. And then I start being compulsive in the physical will start. And this is what I identify with. I was always going, quote, on the wagon. Well, that's what you usually say when you're alcoholic. But I was always going on a diet. I was always going on a method that I could stop eating and stay stopped. Well, that didn't happen to me. My mind said I could, but my body said I couldn't. And then I'm always sorry. Oh, my goodness. I'm never going to do this again. You wait and see. I'm going to change. Well, that's impossible, too, because we know that I know that I'm powerless. But I never made the decision, like the third step, part of our steps to get better. What does that mean, never made a decision? Well, I made a decision before Thanksgiving or after Thanksgiving. All right, let me do it Thanksgiving, and then I'll start. Oh, let me go on this diet. I would be motivated if I had a function to go to. But you see, it was always me. That was my mind telling me what to do. And if I felt sad, I would eat. If I felt happy, I would eat. All the emotions, very unstable. I didn't have sound judgment. I had impulsive behaviors, and with all those characteristics, I thought I was hopeless, but I'm not helpless, and that's the time, so I will pass. Thank you.
Hey, thank you very much, Janice, for getting us started. Janice PM from Massachusetts, and now we'll start our sharing. I'll take names, but although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Tanya
Barbara?
G. in New Jersey.
Okay, wait a minute. I heard a garble, but I think I heard a
Ronnie.
Tanya.
This is Ronnie.
Ronnie. Ronnie B. Tanya, what's your last initial?
G.
G. Who else?
Roz G.
Roz G.
Bruce E.
Bruce E.
Victoria F.
Victoria F. Okay, we'll stop there. I have Tanya G, Ronnie B, Roz G, Bruce E, and Victoria F. Everyone else, please mute your phone except Tanya G. Good morning, Tanya.
Thank you, moderator. Thank you for your service. My name is Tanya G, grateful compulsive overeater from Louisiana. I just wanted to share on this because I'm so grateful that y'all classified me because that's the way I identified myself because y'all told your stories. I'll never forget, not too long ago, about 6 or 7 years ago, I was a lunatic because I thought the guy I was dating was cheating and I was jealous of his friend that was a girl. And that is, and to go out late at night and to go stalk him is not sane behavior. Compare that to eating, like I heard somebody say last week, that lone wolf with the red eyes. It's like me and the food. When I heard someone also say, it was disturbing. I was just shoveling in food. And if that's not psycho, then I don't know what isn't, you know. And so I'm just so grateful that I can be restored to sanity in some ways, you know. And that I can step back and y'all can help me get a higher power and remind me to pray and that it can be a different way. And I'm just going to keep it short, but I just wanted to share that. And I'm so grateful that I have a better way of life. Thank you. And I pass.
Well, thank you very much, Tanya G. from Louisiana. Up next is Ronnie B., followed by Roz G. Good morning, Ronnie.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, everyone. Ronnie B. in Missouri, thank you for all your service. So, I'm sorry, what's happening?
Go ahead. They got muted. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Thank you. So I actually took a second to look up psychopath. Of course, I've heard the term used a billion times, but a really clear definition for me that I read was abnormal mental and social behavior. And I can tell you, I've had that. And if I don't stay on the top of my game, I will get that again today. So it's like, I've recovered from a hopeless state of mind and body, but I'm not cured. And if I don't do my maintenance in this program, there's a very good chance I will go back to the way I used to be. And I don't want that anymore. I don't want it again where my daughter says things to me like, Mom, I just bought X, Y, and Z sugar. She can eat sugar. And I have it in the freezer, and it would be nice if it was still there later. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, and that was years ago, for the record. But I never forgot that because it really gave me a sense of, oh, my gosh, you know, I thought I was hiding my behavior so well. And I don't think a person who has stable mental health sits around thinking a lot about, I'm pretty sure I'm covering up my food. Maybe not everybody is noticing it. You know, going out to dinner with friends, thinking, how do I get into that roll basket? How do I eat two? Wait a minute, can I eat three? I'm not sure everyone at that table was doing that. In fact, several people at the just passed, as they do today, by the way. You know, it was me. It was me obsessing about the food. So compulsive, obsessive behavior, right, is mental illness for me. And so I have recovered for sure from that hopeless state of mind and body. I'm not hopeless. In fact, I remember several years ago, I was talking to my therapist about something and this stood out. She said, you know, Ronnie, in this situation, and it wasn't food, but I practice these principles in all my affairs. She said, you are powerless, but you are not hopeless and you are not helpless. And I took that into heart. And so I draw on that kind of healing today. Just like I was drawn to the meeting today. You know, I had already done a meeting earlier and I was getting ready to do a face-to-face meeting and something said, no, dial into vision today. So I'm really glad I did. Thank you all for your service. I appreciate it. That's it.
And thank you, Ronnie B. from Missouri. Up next is Roz G., followed by Bruce E. Good morning, Roz.
Hi, Mo. Thank you for your service. Hi, everybody. My name is Roz G. I'm a compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California, which is in the county of Los Angeles. And I want to talk about how it says a resolution, but never a decision. I came to Overeaters Anonymous on a New Year's resolution that I was going to lose 50 pounds. But I made that New Year's resolution every year. Every year I was going to lose 50 pounds. I had no plan. I had no actions. All I had was a fantasy dream that I was going to look good and get into that size 6. And it was completely delusional. And I had to get into a lot of pain before the truth would come that I had a malady, a spiritual malady, and that I was completely powerless over my compulsion to overeat. I had no clue about that. And the Big Book and Overeaters Anonymous taught me that. And really, what really taught me was the pain and the food. That's what's gonna do it. Is not anything my sponsor says, not anything a motivational speaker says, not anything a weight guru or a book says. What's gonna teach me the lesson is the pain and the suffering of what compulsive overeating does. So after many of those bouts of pain and suffering, I made a decision, and I make decisions every day. I have to make a decision to allow God into my life and to be directed by God. Like it says in the first thing in the morning is to ask God to direct my thinking. And because as with other shares, I have had some delusional thinking and fantasy life and, it was crazy. Overeaters Anonymous and the Big Book and the 12 Steps have taught me how to live in reality. What's the reality of the situation? Okay, now I know the reality of it. What am I going to do about it? That's not just with compulsive overeating, but everything, my whole life. So I am grateful for this meeting. I'm grateful that Overeaters Anonymous taught me. I did come in New Year's, the last time, but I stayed. I've had relapses. I have 4 years of abstinence, going on 5. So grateful for that. But in order to keep that, I have to give it away, and I have to work with people every day, and I have to attend these meetings, and do what the book calls me to do. Thank you. I pass.
And thank you, Roz G. from California. Up next is Bruce E., followed by Victoria F. And after Victoria, I'll be taking another lineup of names. Good morning, Bruce.
All right. Good morning, Mo. That's me. I'm Bruce E. I'm in Southwest Florida, Fort Myers, Florida. And grateful today to be on the line. Grateful I get to share here. Grateful that I'm abstinent today and recovered. So, yeah, I mean, I can identify with the reading and everything I've been hearing here this morning. So I had an abnormal mental state. Now, I can go back into an abnormal mental state without overeating, too. So, or eating the wrong thing. So, like today, I've just been in this kind of negative, judgmental type thinking, mad at people and all this. So the answer, of course, is a 10-step. Do a 10-step, call somebody and do a 10-step. Tried to call a couple people last night, couldn't get a hold of anyone, but I'll be able to get hold of somebody this morning. So, abnormal mental state and the resolution, making a resolution. So I did that, the resolution. I did the New Year's resolution, then I did about a dozen of them in between New Year's and the next New Year's. So, yeah, and I never kept them because that wasn't strong enough. You know, it didn't have higher power in it. It didn't have, I'm in a little wind here. I hope that isn't bothering me. Much. So I was making these resolutions every year about losing weight and all this kind of stuff. And I was always wondering why they didn't happen. You know, it never happened. It never worked. So that was just something I just made up in my own mental state, my own self. You know, what I really had to do was make that decision that's talked about in this reading here, and the decision was finally to put the food down. And it took all this pain and suffering and difficulty in my life to get me to the point where I was willing to put the food down. And I wouldn't put the food down before that. So finally got to that point with all that pain where I put the food down. And I had to do that in order to quit triggering this allergy that I've got. I've got an allergy to overeating and sugar and all this stuff. So, you know, I kept triggering that, and I could never carry through with that decision. So I made a lot of decisions. And I finally, when I made the decision, put the food down, get a sponsor, and start working the steps, that's when the whole thing changed. Yeah, that was the whole paradigm Time. Shift right there. Thank you, Mo, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Brucey from Florida. And before I take Victoria F., let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page XXX in the doctor's opinion, the second paragraph down, the classification of alcoholics, and it ends with make many resolutions but never a decision. And we're studying that one paragraph only. Okay, good morning, Victoria.
Good morning. This is Victoria F. from the UK. I'm new, so I'm not really sure what I'm going to say. This is the first time I've shared. And, the bits in this paragraph, going on the wagon for keeps. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Diet after diet. Swimming club after swimming club, hundreds of thousands of pounds down the pan, getting nowhere. I came into OA in 2018 and I had a good deal of recovery. However, I lost my sponsor at the beginning of last year and decided I could try by myself. Well, yes, I can actually hear some of you grinning because by myself is absolutely no good whatsoever. So I actually ended up having a relapse, and I returned from relapse after the festivities this year and actually make many resolutions. I did make a resolution this year and I stuck to it. I wanted to find a sponsor. So on the 2nd of January, I found myself a sponsor. What I didn't know was my sponsor sponsors the Vision Way. And although I'd heard of the Vision Way, I'd never, ever delved into it. And I have to say that it's taken me completely by storm. I found myself getting an account on Skype so I could dial into these meetings. And I can say I'm loving these meetings. I've never been through the Big Book in such detail. And it's revelatory, absolutely revelatory. So yes, going on the wagon for keeps never happened. Yes, always over remorseful and making many solutions, but never a decision. However, in my case, on this occasion, I did make a resolution and I did make a decision, and that decision was to join Vision. And I'm so glad I'm back, and it's lovely to hear you all, and thank you so much for your service, and I'll pass.
And thank you very much, Victoria F., and welcome. also. All right. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So I'll take another lineup of names. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Elizabeth C.
I heard Elizabeth.
Robin L. from Connecticut.
Luann C.
Polly Q. Robin, was that Robin L?
Yes.
I heard Luann. Robin L. Okay, thanks, Robin. Luann.
Debbie R. from Washington.
Debbie, was that?
Yes.
Debbie R. Okay. All right. Elizabeth, I didn't get your last initial. Polly Q. Robin L. Luann. I should know your last initial. And Debbie R. So we'll begin. We'll everybody else. Mute your phone, and I'll start with Elizabeth. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for your service, and thanks, everyone, for being here. Elizabeth C., I'm a compulsive overeater binger. It's really interesting here that the thing that stuck out to me was the word psychopath and who are emotionally unstable. And coming in here, certainly I was, and also in a relapse or something like that extended, I definitely become more insane. It's like the sugar adds to it, the insanity. But what really makes me want to talk is to identify that when I'm not in a decision, when I don't make a decision, that is the my illness, that is my I can make many, many goals and resolutions, but if I don't make a decision, and I can't decide on too many things at once, I just can't. So I have to make a decision to do the thing that I'm going to be doing. And in order to come to that decision, I really have to calm myself down and have clarity of mind in order to do that. And I'm at that place now. It feels better. And I'm not as insane. So, maybe I am a psychopath. I know that the indecisiveness is definitely depression for me. And the food goes hand in hand with all of that. So I'm grateful to be here. Thanks for letting me share. And I'm in California.
Hey. Okay. Thank you, Elizabeth C. from California. Up next is Polly Q., followed by Robin L. Good morning, Polly.
Good morning,
Polly. Oh, there you are.
Can you hear me?
There you are. Okay.
Sorry.
Yes.
Thank you for your service, moderator. This is Polly Q in Northern California, recovered. Oh my gosh, one day at a time. I'm gonna bypass this word psychopath because I think part of the problem as a food addict is a food addict that is separate, maybe from often separate from other addictions, is that we look good. Man, we're so functional, right? Oh, yeah, of course I am. I go to work and, I'll come home and rage. I might slip once in a while and you'll see me in an aggressive manner, but most of the time I buckle it up. And, I was always going to just fix this food plan. I just got to fix this food plan. For 17 years, I was in a district with the loveliest women. Oh, my gosh. They were lovely. The district just shut down, because it was just really the same people all the time. And they got older. And some of them died of the addiction. Some of them just, kind of just faded, but it shut down. It was really sad. Sad to see that. I loved these women. Loved them. I would never have called them psychopaths. But it was a weak district. We did not work the program because we didn't know what the program was. I mean, we were there. It was around for like 40 years, but we never knew what the program was. It was group therapy, really, was what it was, with a spiritual bent to it. Everybody worked the steps months, so it just didn't have any depth and weight other than our love for each other. But and that just fell apart for me. You know, I at one point I just had to say, wow, I have burnt the house down in my life. I have broken my abstinence at year 17 after that white knuckling, that horrible white knuckling. So it was, and then I came to this vision meeting and I thought, what the hell have I been doing in this program? Because I sure haven't been working it. I didn't even know it existed. And so, you know, I totally relate. This time I'm going to clean that food plan up. I'm going to go to a convention. That's what I'll do. And then I'll feel so much better. You know, I just need a different sponsor. That's really what it is. No, it was that I didn't know what the program was. So until I came here and heard how people worked it. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Polly Q. Up next is Robinelle, followed by Luann. Good morning, Robinelle.
Good morning, Robinelle from Connecticut. And I so can relate to this paragraph. I'm one of those people that needed outside help for this emotional instability. And I was at least willing to do that. But when I'm in the food, that instability can come right back. And I don't know how to make a decision. I want other people to make decisions for me. And when it comes to being in recovery, I have clear mind. I can think straight. I can stay on a food plan. I can have a conscious contact with God on a regular basis and trust that the program does work. And I lost my place. We're over remorseful and make many resolutions, but never a decision. And yeah, I was remorseful, and then I would get back into the food. You know, I'd get on a diet and do well for a short period of time, and then I'd be back in the food. And the cycle repeated over and over again. And like I said, in the food, I couldn't make decisions. I wanted someone else to make decisions for me. And I was always going on diets. So the whole message of this paragraph I can relate to. But the good news is I don't have to live that way today. I can be in recovery and have a conscious contact with God that guides me and directs me so that I can be free from food addiction for today. And that's all I have for this morning. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Robin L. Up next is Luann C., followed by Debbie R. Good morning, Luann.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you, and thank everybody for their service. I'm Luann C. from Boise, Idaho, recovered today. Thank you, God, and you guys. The thing that I had to look up was psychopath. My family had some mental health issues with members, and so I totally didn't want to relate to that word. But in my dictionary, it said psychopath, a person with a character disorder distinguished by amoral or antisocial behavior without feelings of remorse. And I'm looking at character disorder, and I thought, wow, no wonder our program is, it's tailor-made for this definition, you know, with our emphasis on character defects. And, you know, I was very, when I'm in the food, I'm very antisocial and very, you know, putting a perimeter around my food and you better not eat my crackers, you know, and it extended into my spending habits and everything. And I was just, a rash of character defects. But the thing different from this definition for me is without feelings of remorse. Remorse, I think for me, was the solution. That's the only solution I had. I lived in self-pity. I lived in saying, oh, I'm powerless, you know, and that was my solution. Okay, well, I have to accept I'm powerless as I, you know, was crying and stuffing cookies down my throat, you know. But today I'm just so grateful to have, you know, 11 months of sanity and my life is so functional now, and it's, I can see that it's resolving and helping the people around me and my family, because they don't have a nut in their in their midst. They have somebody who's functional, and my life, when Luann shows up, life is way better. So I'm so grateful today, and thank you all, and I hope you have a great day. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Well, thank you, Luann C. And before I take Debbie R., let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page XXX in the doctor's opinion, the second paragraph down. It begins with the classification of alcoholics, and it ends with make many resolutions, but never a decision. And after Debbie, I'll be able to take about three or four more names. Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning, everyone. This is Debbie R. from Washington. And I identified most in this paragraph with the emotionally unstable part. I certainly don't want to think of myself as a psychopath. I don't think anybody does. But definitely I've been emotionally unstable in much of my life, and more so, even more so before I entered 12-step program over three years ago. And I remember being so anxious that I'm straining, like just straining, my whole emotions were just on fire. And after these, working these steps, after being in the rooms for this time, I have been able to feel, and certainly by turning to God, I've been relieved of the, you know, the ultra emotions is how I say it, the ultra emotions. Yes, there's still restlessness, irritability, and discontent, but it's not the way it used to be, and I'm so very thankful for that. And also making the decision. I find that I'm having to make the decision over and over again. You'd think once you make this decision, it's a commitment. I've made a commitment to the 12-step program in my life. I've made a commitment to continuing to show up, continuing to work the steps. And so I can say that decision has been made. This is where I belong.
Oops, Debbie. Press star one, you got muted.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
I don't know how that happened. Sorry.
Oh,
so very
accidental.
Thankful.
Yeah, okay.
Just so very thankful for this group and all the other meetings that are available to us. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
And Debbie, just so people can find you, how do you spell your first name?
Barbara E.
Oh, okay. Wait a minute. Okay, before I take that, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. And so I have Barbara E.
Ingrid H.
Ingrid H.
Jim S.
Jim S. That we'll stop there. Yeah, we need to stop there. I don't know if I'm going to get everybody in. So let's start with Barbara E. and then followed by Ingrid H. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning. And Mo, thank you for your generous service, and thank all of you for being on this meeting today. When I looked at this classification of alcoholics, for me, overeaters, of course, I thought, wow, I don't fit any of those. And then I realized I fit all of them, except perhaps for the fifth one, entirely normal, except in the effect alcohol had them. They're intelligent, friendly people. I'll leave that one alone and go back to the psychopath. Always unwilling to do the right thing, going on and off. Monday I'll start my program. Maybe I'll start at midnight. No, the first of the month is better. Making a decision, but never going through with it. And I know when I'm unwilling today to do the right thing, I become restless, irritable, and discontent. It's always my choice. Often I do not even consider the good or bad options there are, as I know deep down the good option requires more effort. So as a result, I choose the wrong thing. And that also always leads me back to being restless, irritable, and incontent. So when I take these options seriously, I have to accept they require more time and energy to do them the correct way. So even though I know what's right, while in the short term something seems easier, they lead me back to those actions and foods and feelings and spiritual defects I don't want to go back to. So those events that once made me feel ashamed, disgraced, a failure, unteachable, now allow me to become a more useful member of the human race, to be kinder, to be less negative, to see how beautiful life can be, to breathe in gratitude and breathe out negatives, and know that my Creator is with me, walking alongside me, helping me to make better choices for myself, my family, and others I may encounter, and live this day one day at a time. Thank you, everyone. I pass. Have a beautiful, beautiful Tuesday.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Barbara E., and I only have room for Ingrid H. I'm sorry, Jim, come back tomorrow. Ingrid, I can give you 2 minutes. Press star one to unmute. Ingrid?
Okay, I apologize. Can you hear me now?
I can.
Good morning.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Good morning. My name is Ingrid H. I'm calling from Los Angeles. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And, you know, as I have to look up the definition of psychopath and just kind of take a moment, like, and just ponder, am I really that psychopath? And 100% I am. And that's where this disease had me. You know, some of the character traits of a psychopath, antisocial. Yes, I was antisocial. I had to have my food. I would isolate from others. I didn't want to be around others because of my obsession with the food. And then another character trait is narcissism. And, you know, narcissism being like that self-centered personality style characterizes having an excessive preoccupation with oneself. And I have been so self-centered, wanting the world to be my way, wanting others to act and behave according to my needs so that I could be comfortable. And that's just not, that is like living, it's not living in reality. And so I'm grateful for this program because, you know, as the end of the paragraph says, it says, you know, never made a decision. Well, when working these steps and how they're laid out in the big book, making a decision, you know, fully conceding to my innermost self that I am a compulsive overeater and making the decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand God. And for that, I'm grateful. I'm recovered. I am certainly not cured. Thanks for letting me share.
And thank you. And thank you all who gave shares today and gave service. So we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will ask Shelley E. to read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, my fellows. This is Shelley E., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. The Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is so sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellow. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.